Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Holtby. Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's another week of Caps Hockey Talk. We are a Caps fan-made podcast, and I salute you, the Caps fan, wherever you may be in the DMV, whether it's the state of Maryland, the District of Columbia, or like my erstwhile co-host from the Commonwealth of Virginia. She is, of course, the mermaid, the hockey mermaid, the only one who can call herself that. It's Anna Knox.
That works. Evening, Gil. Happy Sunday.
If there is such a thing, how are things in Centerville?
Oh, bitch in Centerville is doing well. It was a very low key weekend and a much needed weekend after the party last week, and I had a field trip on Friday that, my God, I can't do that. I'm just gonna call in sick next time.
Speaking of sick, how about this weather? How about this weather? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it was quite cold earlier in the week up in these parts. I don't know about down there.
Oh, yeah. Anytime I have to, you know, drive my son to some practice in the morning on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and it tells me that it's 22 degrees, but it feels like 15, I just want to roll over and be like, no, it's okay. We can skip practice. It's all good.
Yeah, it was, pretty much the same here. Something of the same experience. One morning I was getting up for work and I realized I didn't have any clean shorts, or at least ready to go clean shorts. I had some still sitting in the wash and I had to do kind of a quick dry of them, but they weren't quick or dried enough. So I got out to the car still wearing semi-damp shorts underneath.
A George Costanza shrinkage moment?
I won't get into that, but
I'm going to say yes.
It's entirely within the realm of possibility that happened, since it was below frickin' freezing, 10 degrees below frickin' freezing at the time. So, yeah, my nether regions were not feeling too great. And on top of that, my morning snack, which I had several different varieties of planter snacks, had been left in said vehicle overnight as it was dropping below frickin' freezing in double digits. So,
salted nuts.
Well, the moral of that story is, either way, I was going to come out of this with some freeze-dried nuts.
Yes, you were. That's good.
And so I did. Well, it wasn't good for me. It might be good for everybody else that's laughing their ass off right now at this. But
No, Gil, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you.
Oh yeah, well I wasn't laughing when I was clenching my knees together and clenching my teeth at rock hard candy. At least what it felt like.
A total visual on that end. All right.
Yeah, really. Okay, well all right. So let's just go ahead and get into something that's good and cold, and that was the hockey for this week.
Yes, I'm going to let you just blow through it.
Yeah. Well, it's a good way to describe it. so there were four games, of course. Started out with the Arizona game, which, of course, went to the shootout. It was a loss. That can best be described as the letdown game. That was kind of what I was trying to get to last episode, kind of what I was fearing that would happen. And it did, because, as I said, Arizona's not to be taken lightly, and I think they did take them lightly, very slightly, and it cost them. It cost them a point. Thank God it was only a point, but still. Then it was the game a few days later with Philly, and that was your classic goaltender's duel.
Big time.
Yeah, and Carter Hart for the Flyers acquitted himself extra. Extra great. I wasn't surprised. I mean, I've seen what he can do, but you know, I think he put on his best stuff. But you still have to bow to the master, that being Braden Holtby, and he held out enough, and they got the win. I believe it was in overtime.
Yeah, it was in a shootout.
I'm flipping. Oh, yeah. Oh, good Lord. It was yet another shootout. Oh, by the way, that's going to be the theme for this recap. Things that I don't like, things that disgust me, which, of course, features the damn shootout. No, wait a minute. Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it was a shootout. Caps went 2-for-2. Philly went 1-for-3. Okay. And then was the game against... back at home against Les Canadiens de Montréal. Draw a line through this. It sucked. They didn't come. They didn't show up. They didn't come to play. It was an abnormal game, abnormal effort. That's all the people need to know. Okay, then there was last night. Oh, boy. Love this game, but I can only stay up through the first two periods.
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, no. I saw the climactic moment. I have seen the tape of your one of your teacher's pets.
Yes.
And also, well, I also saw earlier in the game, your man standing up for another one of your teacher's pets.
How awesome. I'll tell you.
That was glorious.
There was nothing better than seeing Marshawn try to pick on Kempney and then flinch, literally cower and flinch and fall to the ice when the pain train's coming after him. Fuck yes. It was brilliant. And I hate that guy. But you know what? It was, it just paid off. It was like a bully picking on a kid. And then all of a sudden that like badass older brother or sister comes along and you're like, oh shit. So yeah, and I will say on the air right now, Stuart Small, thank you so much for putting things on my timeline. The face of Marshawn, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. I love that photo. I may just have to make it my wallpaper. But yeah, this was exactly what I wanted to see in the boys. It was a damn physical game. A little kind of like a little impulsive in the beginning. I was like, whoa, 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 slow it down. let's stay focused here. But when you're playing against the Bruins, you know, they're going to give. Yeah,
you've got to bring the hard and heavy game. You really do. And I'm saying that I'm not joking one bit when I say that, because that's what they're good at. But yeah, it was, I totally agree. It was absolute joy to see Brad Marchand make like Greg Louganis off a platform the second he saw Tom Wilson coming. And it was even awesome. More of a joy to see Jake the Snake, Jacob Vrana, finish off with his cool impression of Pavel Datsyuk.
Yep.
And finish off with the wonderful Deke and win the game, bring it home for our boys. So that is an ultra fast recap of the games that were. Four games, three wins, one very bad loss, but hey, who's counting? The standings points are, and we are at the quarter pole of the season, or actually one quarter way through the season. So what we planned on doing was having several listeners
Hold on.
Wait, what?
Four games, two wins, two losses.
One shootout
loss to Arizona.
One shootout loss. One regulation loss.
Sorry. Yep. Sorry.
So 4 games, possible 8 points.
Yes.
And they banked 2, 4, 5. Yeah, 5 out of 8 points. Not bad. Not bad. No, 6 points. No, let's see. 2 wins. 1, 2, 4. Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
But then we hit the high points. We hit the high points. Okay, so anyways, I was saying, what we planned on doing, since we're a quarter of the way through the season, is having several of our listeners come on and give their impressions of the Cap season thus far. We had 3 particular ones planned. 2 of them have had to cancel for one reason or another. We have a very special guest coming on right now. He's been patiently waiting on hold. So we're going to have him on right now. He's got a bit of a time constraint himself, but listeners of the show and of Anna's other show, the Sports on the Hill podcast, will know him well as the co-host of the Sports on the Hill podcast with Carol Porter III. Catch that live every Monday evening, True Radio Network, Facebook Live. He is Mr. Robbie Gross, and we're going to put him on right now.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you guys. So hopefully you guys can hear me too.
We can, absolutely. Robbie, thanks so much for doing this. Just going to clue the listeners in. Robbie is actually a last-minute replacement for our special 2-person panel here. We literally called him at the last minute to get him on because we had so many cancellations. I don't know, maybe there's a flu bug going around or something. Thanks, Rob, so much. I'm glad you could do this on such short notice, and we'll get you in and out as quick as we can because I know you got stuff to do.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here. I love having Anna on my show every week, and as part of our hockey roundtable, and I always love coming on this show. I've been able to come on as a part of a couple of different seasons now in a row, including obviously the Stanley Cup championship season, which is my favorite season. I love your guys' show. I listen to it every week, and I love that we have it on sportsothp.com, Power Play Point podcast button. And that website actually has all of our live streaming content, and soon to have video game content. That's the newest thing that I'm working on right now as well.
Awesome. But,
I've been playing the latest Pokemon games. I mean, Pokemon Tuesdays over on my Twitch stream as well. So, just something a little fun. I actually did a Pokemon/Redskins stream today, which is a little awkward. But I'm super happy I was playing Pokemon instead of 100% focus on the Redskins, because that would make me just want to hit my head on the wall. So,
yes.
Yeah. So the games were great this week. I actually did predict, as Anna will remember, that we went 2-2. That's what I thought would happen. We got 5 points instead of 4, so a little bit better. We've won 5 shootout or overtime victories in a row on the road, which is a franchise best, which is really exciting. I don't like games to have to go to overtime to win, but you take what you can get, especially because 3 of those games, I believe, we were losing, we were able to score with we pulled our goalie. We've gotten actually pretty good at that. Not that that's something I want us to do a lot of practice with, but it's always good to be able to pull the goalie and get an extra man and get into overtime and then be able to get the victory. And I love Verona's shootout goal. So a little bit quickly, the Montreal game, I saw the beginning of that game, but then I turned it off to spend time with my wife. I promised her a Friday night together. And then it all fell apart the second I turned off the TV. So I kind of wanted the reverse to happen. I was at an auction fundraiser for my school that I work for last night. And the auction sort of ended, and it was just dancing and partying at that point. And so I pulled it up on my phone, and I got some people that I know that are hockey fans to circle around me. And we watched the last 4 minutes of that game, which arguably was the most important 4 minutes of that game. So so we kind of flip-flopped, Gil. You watched the first 2 periods. I watched the 3rd overtime and shootout. So combined, we got to see the whole game. And
that'll
great
work.
Stuff. And I really am happy. I mean, we'll break, obviously, all 4 games down more. And we'll have a live game tomorrow, Anna, on Sports on the Hill podcast, because the Ducks come to town.
Anaheim.
So, yeah. So
be a good one.
To cover on that one for sure. But I know you got a couple of questions to shoot my way, so let's get it going.
Okay, absolutely. All right. So, first question that I've prepared, and Anna, just so you know, you're not immune, but you'll be going last, as I told you before. So we'll need to hear from you as well. So dig and prepare. Teacher being put on the spot. Okay, so question numero uno that I have. What has been the best part of the Caps game so far this season? It's actually a two-parter. And what needs improvement?
Right. So the resiliency of the Capitals, as I was sort of mentioning before, I would say is the best part of the thing. That to be able to be down a goal, you know, with 1 minute left in the game and to pull a goalie and not to have it end up in the back of your net like in previous seasons it would have. I mean, I can't tell you any time of being a Caps fan for 20 years where three times in a row where we pull a goalie down a goal and it works, right? I mean, it's just shocking, especially on the road. So that's very, very impressive. And I like just the fact that if they're down a goal, up a goal, doesn't matter. They just keep on working. But they don't do a 60-minute game very often. So going back to the first game of the week, I was happy that the Caps were resilient and were able to force an overtime and a shootout. But they didn't deserve to win that game. They played 20 to 30 minutes of that game, got a little bit lucky, were able to force a point out of it, which is great. You know, you need to get points wherever you can get them. But I can't say that they put a full 60 together. And in a lot of ways, I thought the other team deserved that victory over us. And I don't like to say that, but that's kind of how I felt when they won. I was like, you know, first of all, Sam doesn't have a lot of practice in the shootout. But just in general, I just didn't feel like we did enough to win that game. We kind of got lucky to even get a point. So I think I'd like to see more games where it's 60 minutes and basically playing three consecutive good periods instead of maybe one period, then taking a period off, and then maybe getting a good period at the end.
Okay, so to summarize, it sounds like you like all good points, by the way, but looks like you like the overall character in that they're resilient in falling behind than their ability to come back. But what you'd like to see is more of a consistent effort throughout all 60 minutes plus, so that maybe they don't have to rely on that part of their game as much. Okay, great points. So second question. And this is what I spent most of last week's episode going over. I don't know if the message came quite across, but I mean, this is what I was trying to articulate. And that's, should we as Caps fans be concerned about this team peaking too early? Everybody's talking about that talks about this team is already talking about a President's Trophy like season. And whenever I hear those words, well, there's a whole lot of puckering going on, and it's not with my lip. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I agree, and I understand the fear, right? Because we've been Caps fans for a long time. We know that seasons that start off hot don't always end up the way we want them to. And in fact, the season that ended the way we wanted it to, they weren't hot to start the season, and Holtby had some growing pains and some difficulties, and you know, he was replaced, and you know, we had a lot of issues that season. People sometimes forget that. Heck, at the beginning of this season, a lot of people wanted Barry Trotz fired, which in the end he did leave after that season, but at least we got a cup first. And so, you know, it's interesting because I think you kind of have to bank points. I think you got to take whatever game is in front of you and try to win that game. You can't be looking, do you want to win? Do you not want to win? You want to have good habits as much as possible. And there will be a slump at some point in the season. You just have to hope the slump isn't in the postseason. So, I mean, just because you're playing well in the first quarter, maybe it's the third quarter we play badly. Maybe it's the second quarter. Who knows? There will be a slump. There always is a regression towards the mean. No team wins 120 points in a season, right? So, I just think you got to take these points wherever you can get them, whether it be overtime, even if it's an overtime loss or a shootout loss or whatever. You do as well as you can possibly play in every game that you play, because you don't know when the injury bug's going to hit. You don't know when the goal scoring draft's going to hit. And, you know, you want to have these points in hand because the Metropolitan Division's a very tough division. And these teams, I mean, you look at the Islanders, they're right on our heels. They're winning a ton of games too. So, you know, I don't want to have a slow start impede a possible playoff position, because I think positionality within the playoffs is going to become really, really important, especially now that Pittsburgh's, you know, been hit with some of the injury bugs and some of the other perennial favorites. So I think you definitely get whatever wins you can get whenever you can take them. And I like that Holtby is trending better. I think our defense isn't necessarily peaking so well right now, although, you know, we've been scoring a lot of goals, more than 3 goals a game in almost every game, allowing us to sort of overlook allowing 2 to 3 goals a game. So we're bottom 15 in goals allowed, but we're top 10 in goals scored. So, you know, we've sort of, it kind of reminds me of the run and gun Capitals of yesteryear with the Mike Greens of the world, but not quite to that extent, because our defense, I think, is a little bit better. But I think that there's still room for improvement. So I don't think that we're necessarily peaking right now. We're playing well. But we could still peak at the end of the season. There's still room to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I could have said it better myself. And it is true everything you said. And it's just not, you know, it's as they say, you cannot win the Stanley Cup or get into the playoffs in the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season, but sure as hell can lose everything. So that was my concern. But yes, I think you addressed that perfectly there, Robbie. Thanks for that. And I was debating on having this in there due to time, but I think we got a little bit of time for this. So my bonus question, probably the biggest one we're going to have to face it over the coming months of the season. So basically what I need, what I'm going to ask everybody that's coming on tonight is to make an evaluation of Samsonov thus far, and based on that evaluation, do you think he will be ready to take over the net by himself, take over the number one job, should, for whatever reason, he need to come spring?
Right. So, I mean, I think that he is good enough. I mean, we've never had a goalie win their first 5 starts ever in the history of the Capitals. So even Holtby didn't do it. You know, Kolzig didn't do it. A lot of the greats. So I think that he has the potential there. But it's hard to know. It's hard to predict the future. It's hard to know once players and teams see tendencies of goalies, then they'll exploit them. And then how you make adjustments over time, the mental aspect of it, taking over. It depends on how he's taking over. Is he splitting time or is he the workhorse? And if he's the workhorse, then that's a completely different mentality to have to play 40 or 50 games in a season than it is to play 20 or 30 games in a season. So if it's split, you know, half and half with somebody else, then that might take on a different mental situation. So there's a lot of variables. My thought is I love Braden Holtby. I'll state that right now. I mean, without him, we would never have won a cup. But we're going to have to make some big decisions coming up in the near future, you know, between Nicholas Backstrom re-signing him and then how that will affect whether or not Ovechkin re-signs with us and for how long. I think, you know, Ovi and Nick are closer than obviously Ovi is with Holtby just because he's played with him longer. I would love to have all three back. We would have to lose a lot of other players to figure that out cap-wise. I'm not sure the team could, you know, deal with that. Do I think that he could do good enough to take over? I think there'd be some growing pains, honestly. I think we got to go for broke this year. We have to try to win the cup this year. And then after that, we can, you know, if we have to let him go because he's worth $11 million and we don't have the $11 million, then that's fine. And then, you know, the first year is Samsonov being the full-time goalie, we may have some growing pains. I think we will do okay. I think we will make the playoffs. I don't think we will necessarily be the President's Trophy winning, or do we need to be? And then hopefully, you know, we bring back Copley or somebody else and we're able to have somebody split, you know, the time there. So it's hard for me to say that he's definitely not as good as Holtby is now, but Holtby wasn't as good as Holtby is at this point in his career. So he's got time to grow into it. He was projected to not even be on the Capitals roster for another year or two. So the fact that he's on the roster now and won those first 5 starts bodes well for him. I think he's definitely doing better than many people expected at this part in his career.
Okay. Yeah, that was a pretty good take on that, I would think. And a little bit of a foresight into the future. I know we kind of put you on the spot there as far as that goes, but I think you came with a pretty good answer there for that one. Speaking of previews of coming attractions, I know you're very short on time here, but once again, floor's yours, Robbie. Take a few seconds here and let's give us a preview of what we can expect on the next episode of Sports on the Hill podcast.
Well, thank you very much, both of you guys, for having me on, of course, and I enjoy this as always. And on Sports OTHP, on Sports on the Hill podcast, which you can find facebook.com/sportsOTHP, or it's at Twitter or Instagram at sportsOTHP, or our website, sportsOTHP.com. There's a theme there. And so people can go there and they can read the blog, which will have all of our old videos. It'll have all the videos from today's shows, from Carol's postgame, the pregame, and all that. We also post the podcast there for people to stream, as well as your podcast in addition to that. And then the topics will be 7 o'clock. Anna will come on. We will break down those four games. And then we will talk about the live game. Hopefully it will go better. The last couple of times we've talked about a live game, it hasn't gone the way I wanted it to. But hopefully we'll do better against the Ducks. And then about 7:40, we'll have a Wizards roundtable. We'll discuss the up and down week for that, including the game from tonight. And then at about 8 o'clock, Carol and some other people will talk Redskins. I probably will bow out before that because I'm a little bit disgusted with them right now. Maybe I'll say a word or two, but not a lot. And they won't be good words. And so definitely not as good as the Caps. And the Wizards are struggling too. So I'm happy we have the Capitals. I'm happy we have the Mystics. I'm happy that the Nationals won it all. And one last little plug, I just did a Champions merchandise. If you want to have merchandise to represent Mystics, Capitals, and the Nationals all on one thing, I just got pillows, shirts, and all these other designs made also on sportsothb.com. They just came in and they look really cool. So I'm really happy with how they turned out. But thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Robbie, before I falls out of my head for whatever reason, thank you so much once again for doing this. I know this is probably something of an inconvenience for you, but we were really strapped and you always provide such great insight and analysis. You've been such a fan for a long, long time. So you know what you're talking about, you know what you're seeing. So it's great always to have your opinion, but you came in a pinch and I'm glad to say you saved us here because our next guest here is great, but I don't think I promised everybody a panel of sorts, and a panel isn't one person. So again, I'm gushing here, but Robbie, man, I gotta say I love you for doing this. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it, and have a great rest of your podcast.
Thanks, Robbie. Right. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you tomorrow.
Okay, so that was Mr. Robbie Gross from the Sports on the Hill podcast. And again, in case you missed the messaging earlier, you can catch that young gentleman and Mr. Carol Porter III and Miss Anna Knox at 7 o'clock sharp on Facebook Live and the True Radio Network. They speak of all things DC sports, including, as he mentioned, Mystic basketball, Wizards basketball, Nats baseball, Washington Valor Arena football, and some other team that plays football that we won't mention here. Okay. But as I said, we promised you a panel. So we have another guest on who has been on with us before. This young gentleman I've had the pleasure of knowing for three quarters of my life. Went to high school with him. He attended the now famous Annapolis game, the outdoor game, and he was wonderful enough to call in and give us his report on that. So if you remember him well, this is Mr. Ronnie Schrantz. Ronnie, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. By the way, that was South River. It was South River that was undefeated, and Arundel went on a fourth quarter tear, and wow, it was kind of amazing. I don't know if you remember Russell Sigley or not, but
I do. Yeah. I do.
Yeah, I went with him and his wife. You know, we played football and we wrestled. Both did football and wrestling. So yeah. No, it was a great night. Good stuff. And they got a tough task, ahead of them next weekend. They're playing Quince Orchard, and Quince Orchard has an amazing program. But anyway, well, thanks for putting me on after Robbie.
If I didn't think you could bring it, Ronnie, I wouldn't even have you at all on at all. But I know you got the goods, and I wasn't the least bit concerned with having you on. But as you heard, we kind of had an emergency happen upon us, and we have Robbie in and out. And but Ronnie, thanks so much for doing this and understanding and kind of allowing us to shuffle the deck a bit here. My plan was to have everybody handle question at once, but the only way we get him on was is if we get him in and out, and he was great for doing it, but as are you. So thanks once again. But
my pleasure. Thank you.
You're always welcome. You're always welcome on this show anytime. All right. So, okay. So we'll pose the same questions to you, Ronnie. Uh-huh. And, so question number one, I'll repeat it again. So what do you think has been the best part of the Caps game so far? And what do you think needs improvement?
I think that we, the best part is that we're winning. Okay. Improvements. I think we could take a little bit better care of the. Yeah, I think we could do a little bit better forechecking. As far as like trying to keep them in their zone. Like I said, I'm not robbing. I don't know all these.
Oh, no, keep going. I think you're on to something.
Keep them back. But the thing is, I got to be honest with you. We're doing great right now. You know, we've had a couple of games where I can see where we slacked back, like obviously the Montreal game where they, they kind of kicked our tail. Man, so far, I really can't complain, and which is scary because we've seen this before, and this is the curse of the President's Trophy.
Yeah. Well, two words that are when are bad individually, but when you put them together, yes, are not the curse words, at least in this house. No, you were saying something before about the forechecking game. What do you want to see improve off of that?
I see a lot of loose pucks flying and them just not getting around to them. I don't know. I think that now I'm drawing a mental blank here, but.
So a lot of 50-50 pucks maybe that they're giving up too easily on?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, obviously Carlson is doing a great job back there. I would like to see Oshie start to step it up a little more. I don't know. I think he's played better before, but he obviously bailed us out last night. But he needs to lose that damn mustache, though. It looks stupid.
I don't know if Anna would agree.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a fan of the porn stash. We all know that. Unless it's Tommy. Unless it's Tommy, but there's a couple where you're like, not so much.
Yeah. It's just, it's not working for him.
That's not a good look.
I've seen his face without it, and I'm like, you know what, you're so much of a better looking dude without that thing. Anyway, but yeah, as far as the forechecking goes, I think that's one thing that we could definitely improve on. Like I said, Carlson's doing fine. I think Orlov could probably step it up a little more, even though I'm not disappointed in his play. I think that he could. I think Kempney's doing great. So that's pretty much all I got. Like I said, I'm not Robbie.
I think you did make some good points there, and where you were going with it was they live and die by the offense, and if they're not going after the puck in the ozone as much, then they're kind of shortchanging themselves with that. So yeah, I sounded like to me that's where you were going with that, and I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I think that Gudas is gonna eventually become a very valuable player for us. I think he's on the right track. I don't think he's quite there yet, but we'll see.
I agree because yeah. I saw him interviewed when they were playing the Flyers, and he was very honest and saying, hey, listen, this is my stadium. These are my people, my fans, my family, and, no ill will to the Flyers. And, you're moving to another city, another set of fans, another everything. But he said that he's really giving it 100% to, to genuinely know the guys and do what he can. And I was really anti-Gudas in the beginning, and I think that he's definitely redeemed himself, for me at least.
Yeah,
and I think he will continue to kick ass eventually, and I just want to see him drop the gloves, and I wish he would have with Marshawn last night.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, Tommy can't be the only one to drop the gloves now, like I said, Carlson is playing lights out, obviously. We have, that game against the Habs, that was garbage, but, it is what it is. But, coming back from being down in some games, though, is what I'm most impressed about, because we have been down in a lot of games and come back. And that's the resiliency that I'm seeing in this team this year. And that's, that's what's making me happy, because that shows you a professional organization, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure, for sure. So you kind of mentioned this a little bit before, but we'll segue into the second question, which is, should we as Caps fans be concerned about peaking too early? And you said something about you're glad we're winning now. Which is always a good thing, because there's always later. So what do you think?
Well, like I said, it's that curse of the President's Trophy thing that scares me, dude. we've done it, I don't know what, how many seasons have we? I know we did it at least 2 years, maybe 3 years.
Two, three times. I'm thinking three for some reason, but at least.
Yeah,
three.
I'm thinking three too. And three as well. That's the one thing that, got me kind of like, okay, the year they won the cup a couple years ago. Remember when I went to that game, the game at the Naval Academy when they beat the Leafs.
The Leafs, yep.
Yeah. They weren't doing so good then. But after that, they started just kicking tail, you know, and got themselves into the playoffs, and then just, you know, and then they even showed so much resiliency, you know, if that's a word. Is that a word? Anyway. you know, they got behind and they came back. And that's the only thing that scares me right now, is that I don't want them to get too overconfident and overcocky. And because that's kind of what I saw in that game against Montreal. They kind of skated into that game like, you know, we're being, you know, the badass of the NHL. And then they got their butts kicked.
So. Yeah, no, and as long as they, you know, keep learning and relearning, then, not unlike you and I learned how to speak English at Arundel High, I think they'll be fine, because it seems like they have maybe one bad game. And then they bounce back from that with, at the very least, maybe not a regulation win, but a much better effort, at least, in the very next game. It's not as if they take two games off, you know, back to back or anything like that. So it is a legit concern, but, you know, you're right. They can't do that all the time. So that is something to watch for. So, good points.
Yep. Like I said, I'm no Robbie Gross, but, you know,
that's all that matters.
I love my Caps, and I went to my first game in 1979, and I've been diehard ever since. And
awesome.
Yeah. So,
love it.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention that I'm working on my own right now as a contractor. So if anybody out there needs anything done to their home, please give me a shout.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. It was like 3 weeks ago. I don't know if you had a chance to catch up, but 3 weeks ago, yeah, we gave you a free plug.
Oh, you did? No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, that's great. Oh man. And I'm sure you got my phone number, so you can from when we've hung out,
look,
you know, before.
Yeah, look, I can it's been 20 years, but I can personally vouch for the man's work. We did set construction together. We weren't just on the stage, we were behind it. So I can personally vouch for the man's work. He had, even then, he had talent.
Sorry, I appreciate it.
That sounded so bad. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Let's not have Bill write your Yelp review or anything.
And speaking of that, I'm still doing theater, bro. I keep on. I haven't done a show in a while, but when I got back to Maryland, I did three shows within a year, and it was the greatest fulfillment, because the jobs that I had up in Boston weren't, they didn't allow it. Like, I was working all nights and stuff like that. So, but when I got back here, it was a great thing to get back into. And so if anybody needs an actor, also, I'm your man.
Cool. All right. So we'll end with our final question. Which is about the goalie situation. So
yeah.
So you've been paying attention so far, the first 20 games or so. Not to cast aspersions, but there may come a time this season, either come spring or come the playoffs, for whatever reason, we may need to rely on Ilya Samsonov to take the reins in goal. Based on what you have seen so far, do you think he will be ready by then?
Samsonov is going to become a beast, as far as I'm concerned. As much as I love Braden Holtby, God, I hate to say anything negative about him because, you know, he made that incredible save, you know, in Las Vegas, you know, that brought us home the cup. I think Samsonov is going to be the man. I really do. I think Samsonov is going to eventually become one of the greatest goalies that the Capitals has ever seen. And I mean, I'm talking about, you know, going back years and years and years. And we've had some very, you know, oldie the goalie, you know, God, who else? I don't know. I can't think right now.
Pete Peters.
But, yeah, Peters.
Clint Malarchuk.
Malarchuk.
Pat Riggin. Yeah, so some of those names come to mind.
But yeah, I mean, Olaf Kolzig is the first one that comes to my mind because, you know, he set
the standard.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know. We'll see, but I personally think that Samsonov is becoming a beast, and he is going to be the next star of our franchise. Trust me, Holtby will always hold a great place in my heart for what he's done for the organization. But I gotta be honest with you, one of the things I never liked about him was him trying to actually go out and play hockey instead of staying in the net. he put himself into a lot of crazy situations and got goals scored against him because he tried to go out and skate and actually, you know, play the game instead of just being a goalie. In my personal opinion, I don't know if you guys, you know, will agree or not, but it's just what I saw. I think Samsonov is the future, to be honest.
Okay, cool. And
that's my personal opinion, you know.
Well, that's all we need here, and it's not as if it's an ill-informed opinion. Like I said, you're basing it on what you're seeing, and from what you're seeing, he's ready, and there would be a lot of folks that would agree with you. So I don't think you're alone in that regard.
And I don't know. I might not be right, and it is what it is. But I know a lot of our guys are getting older. You know, obviously Ovi is getting up there. I think he's, you know, close to our age, to be honest with you. How old is he now? He's like 42, right?
He's 35.
He's not that old.
He's only 35.
I think he's that.
Oh, he's a 34. Spring chicken.
I think he just turned 34.
There we go.
Oh, he's a spring chicken. God, man, I was in the Navy fighting, you know. Anyway, I think I was, God, how old was I when I became a Purple Heart? It was, I don't know. It was probably about like, you know, 32 years old when I got shot. But, So it seems like eons ago. So yeah, he's a spring chicken. He should keep playing for a long time.
we're certainly hoping he does anyway. Right?
Yeah.
That's what his plans are.
Yeah.
But yeah, Well, Ronnie, got to say, it was a pleasure having you on. Thanks so much for doing this, for taking time out of your come on with us and you know, share your thoughts about the team. You know, you're always welcome here, my brother, and it was great talking to you again. And I will definitely pass along your message to Robbie that I think you and he would hit it off pretty good.
But
you guys should get together, go to a game. Hopefully we all will one of these days, but
absolutely.
Thank you so much once again for coming on with us and taking time and being one of our great loyal listeners.
Oh man, it's my absolute pleasure, and I hope you guys have a rest of your broadcast to go great, and I really appreciate you guys.
Okay, all right.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
And by the way, screw Daniel Snyder. I hate him.
I am not editing that out, folks.
Yeah, and on that note.
Well, we could go on and on about that. Anyway, okay, guys, take care.
Good night, Ronnie.
Bye.
All right, good night. Bye-bye.
All right, so that was Mr. Ronnie Schrantz, and before him, Robbie Gross from the Sports on the Hill podcast, serving as our impromptu fan panel for this edition of the Power Play Point podcast. And so now you've had some time, Miss Teacher, Little Miss Mermaid, and I heard you hastily scribbling some notes.
I'm so sorry. I thought I was muted.
No. It's fine. But so the teacher is the student. So I will now post the same three questions to you.
Yes.
So starting with numero un. What has been the best part of the Caps game so far? Low these 20 games, and what needs improvement?
Alrighty. So I will go back to one of my favorite words for this team, and it's chemistry. And I think that I am loving the mix of new players and vets and speed and skill and everything just meshing together. But also loving that we're seeing them having fun. And I think that once the boys can get on the ice and just have fun playing hockey, but play smart hockey, it takes that, you know, tension away and the stress away of having to win, you know, this way it's just good. So that's the one thing I'm liking. I have to admit what they have to work on. Kind of there with Robbie on the 60 minutes, I wrote the word meh next to my opinion on that, because it's inconsistent. And I think Boston last night showed that we can do 60 minutes and more. We can play the physical game. We can play, you know, like I said, it was a little like frazzled, I felt, in the first period, but I want to see more. I just want to see the consistency. That's the thing that I think we need to work on the most. So chemistry, yay. Consistency, nay. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
All right. Good points. Very, very unique perspective you have. You having coaching experience. And I mean that sincerely.
I know.
Nobody else does.
Right.
that I know of. So, okay. So moving on to the second question, which is, should we as Caps fans be concerned about this team peaking too early?
I'm going to go with no. I think that the players who have been, you know, who our vet players are, who are coaches or assistant coach, they know that quote unquote curse of the president's trophy. Like they get it. It's kind of, honestly, it's like, you know, winning the Heisman trophy and, you know, when you're in college football and you go to the NFL and you're like, holy shit, I was so not ready for this. And it's kind of like the curse of the Heisman trophy is how the president's trophy is. I think that they know what they need to do to just get away from that whole stigma attached to that trophy. And I feel like any team that plays as many games as they do, they're going to have that ebb and flow of wins and losses. I think it's so much better for us to start off strong, to know what we can do, to know what we need to change, versus going the other way of, holy shit, we're in game 20 and we can't figure out our lines. Our goalie's not consistent. This isn't consistent. I mean, I think right now our biggest weakness is not playing 60 minutes, but I think our lines are strong. So I think that we're okay where we're at. Are we going to see some losses? Yeah. Yeah. That's just, you know, of course. But I'm not worried about it. And I don't think that they're peaking too soon.
Okay.
And I will say it just on top of that, when you have a captain like Alex Ovechkin, who has like horse blinders on when it comes to winning and wanting to, you know, how he was 2 years ago and wanting to get the Stanley Cup and so driven, you have someone like that in the locker room as your leader, that's just going to influence the other players. So he always comes out and gives it 100%. Whether he scores or not, he is giving 100%. And I think that that's going to only be a good influence on all the players, vets and new players.
Leadership by example. I like it. I like it. Yeah. Okay. So you're not worried at all. Okay. All right. Well, agree to disagree, but
I know.
As long as one of us is going to stay positive.
I'm not saying they're not going to lose, you know, some games. It's going to happen. And like I always said, I always worry the most when they have that West Coast trip. But
which
I think that the
coming up
the teams,
soon, by the way.
I know. Some of the teams that we thought, you know, were going to be really hard, like we managed to beat, and some of the teams that we didn't. So I think that they're finding their balance of teams that you just can't, you know, and in no sport you should ever say, oh, yeah, we've got this. Arizona. But, you know, that's okay. And I just think that, you know, when you have this skill, and I just want, you know, again, come back to just smart hockey and kind of, you know, calm some of it down a little bit with the new players, you know, just to get in there, play the game and play smart and use your skills. Don't, you know, don't be a hothead.
All right. Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. Okay. So we've come to the final question.
Yes.
And that is, based on what you have seen of him, do you think, should it have to happen for whatever reason, and I don't have to go into it, it's already been mentioned kind of as an aside, but for whatever reason, if Ilya Samsonov finds himself in a position to have to take over the number one goalie job, do you think, based on what you've seen so far, that he will be ready to do so?
I would hope so, to be honest. I think one of the things that I see the difference between him and, let's say, Copley, is that he's really intense. Like, not that Copley wasn't, and not that all the goalies aren't, but there's like an intensity with Sammy that I love. Like, I think that, you know, he's in the zone. He is just, you know, he's back and forth between the pipes and he's quick. And I think that is only going to work to his benefit, to the Capitals' benefit. And he's young. So, you know, he's going to have, you know, to have a Braden Holtby to kind of look up to is a fantastic role model in hopefully learning a more, you know, zen way of being in the between the pipes. But I feel like Sammy has a shit ton of talent, and I don't think he's going to let us down. And I think that he is one of those players that is, or goaltenders that is going to take the losses really, really hard and then try that much harder next time. And, you know, really kind of be into that. So will he be, I don't know. Ronnie put him quite high. I'd love to say that he would be a fantastic leader come next season. I want to say that I'm, you know, totally on board with him. But, you know, he's going to have some He's still just young. And I think that's just what, you know, I guess they all have to start somewhere. Braden Holtby, like Robbie said, is, you know, he wasn't all, he certainly wasn't at the caliber that he is now when he first started. And I think that's how Sammy is. Does he have the potential? Yes. So in a roundabout way, I feel like he could be a Braden Holtby, but I guess, I don't know. This is such a hard question.
Well, okay. So basically, not to put words in your mouth, but
go ahead.
You're maybe 95% sold on Samsonov, but not 100% just yet. Sounds like you need to be a little bit more.
Yes. And I think that this week was kind of a good little eye opener. And I think it's just going to get more so. And like, but what works in his favor for me is that intensity. And I think that he truly is, oh man, like in the zone, you know, he is in there, and that for us is just fantastic. So I'm hoping, yeah, I'm 95% Gil. That would be the perfect percentage.
Okay. All right. Makes a heck of a lot of sense. It really does. It really, really does. So, I'm not going to waste everybody's time with my take on it. I make my feelings known, on a game by game basis. And that's really where, I'm coming from, is how the team, you know, and it was mentioned in a way by all three of our panelists here, consistency from game to game.
Right.
Okay. And how this team takes what happened before and either carries the good and keeps that or forgets the bad and loses that and doesn't let it affect either way how they approach the next game. And I think that point is the key. Should we be concerned about peaking too early? I am, but only because I've been following this team for 9/10 of my freaking natural born life, but I won't bore everybody with that. And Samsonov, well, I'd like to say I'm 100% sold on him too. But like Anna, I've got to see more.
Yeah.
But I will say, like Anna also, that I like what I do see. So I said I wasn't going to give my answers, but I just
did.
I figured I would, just to, you know, throw something out there. So, okay. So real quick, previews of coming attractions. We've already given the plug for, Anna's, next show with Sports on the Hill. And, as I said, Monday, the 18th, it's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock puck drop at Cap One. They face off against the Anaheim Ducks, who are having something of a bounce back season this year.
Right.
Pardon me. And then it's off to the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden.
Again, that sounded a little New England, but that's okay.
Rangers, 8 o'clock puck drop, as it is a nationally televised game. So you fans of Locker and Joe B, like Mrs. B, Mrs. Blue Liner, will have to throw something at the TV or mute it.
But then we have Patrick Sharp, right?
You have Patrick Sharp. I have my trip to the fridge in intermission. And then we have the Hockey Fights Cancer game back home at Cap One against the Vancouver Canucks at 12:30 noon puck drop. I will have a very, very special posting. I will try to get it right before the game. Sometime either during the game or right before it, I will have a very special picture to post in honor of Hockey Fights Cancer right around then, since that is the host game for HFC for the Caps then. All right, so we've only got time to preview that. We're not going to get into anything. Then I think after that is, I'm pretty sure the... yes, we get, well, there's one game and then there's the holiday and then we start another week, but we're not going to get into that now. We're just about out of time. So we haven't done this in a while, but I want to put up our contact information out there. Those of you who have been fortunate enough and smart enough to join us at our Facebook page, built by the mermaid herself, and of course communicate with us there all of the time. But we are also both on Twitter, and I will give out my personal email. So my handle on Twitter is at BLULINER98, at BlueLiner98. That's how you can reach me on Twitter. And I will give out my personal email, and that is GLHALLOWED at gmail.com. Or sorry, yahoo.com. And Anna, you want to give out your information or contact information?
Yeah. I have no problem with that. I'm always on social media. So on Twitter, you can find me at A-Knox, A-K-N-O-X 49. 49 is not for my age. It's because I'm a 49ers fan. But thanks for asking, for all of you who are like, wow, you're 49? No, but thanks. Instagram, on it all the time. Love it. Therefore, it's just good times. So Aquanox, A-Q-U-A-K-N-O-X 49. Probably the two best ways to reach me. Email, not so much, but definitely Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Love to hear from anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you ever have any questions about the show, about the Caps, or even the NHL in general, we would love to hear from you. You have a request, you want a topic for us to talk about, we're open to that as well. You want to come on the show, just as our two gentlemen friends did just now, and speak about anything Cap Talk, you're also welcome to do that as well. We record every Sunday evening. Around 5:30 to 7:30 is usually when we take the shows. So if you want to do that, give us a buzz as well. We like I keep on saying, we are here for the Caps fan. I like to think of us as a Caps fan survival guide. We will survive this season together, and hopefully it'll end in a Stanley Cup yet again.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
Yes. All right. So, we went a little long there. I hope you guys can bear with us, but hopefully it was worth it. So, Anna, if there's nothing else we have from you this evening.
Okay.
So, for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that there is only one creature that is smarter than a talking parrot. And that is a spelling bee.
Nope.
Just a nope?
Nope. Just an eye roll and a nope.
An eye roll and an indifferent nope. I must be off my game.
Yes. Yes, you are. All right. Well, go ahead and say your Caps thing so I can say mine.
Hallelujah. And let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.